We're going to look at one thing really, really quickly, and then one thing a little longer. We're going to look at guilt and judge. Not judgment, that's another one, just judging. And there's obviously some differences there. But let's look at one verse. You know, the word guilt, you know, we all have our issues in our personal private lives, our mouth, our eyes, our ears, our feet. They do things and we wish they hadn't. But that's the word, do we feel guilty? Well, of course we do, personally we do, because we wish we hadn't. We know what the Lord has done, and the testimony, we blow our testimony in front of our kids or friends or neighbors or whatever, and then we start to feel real bad about it. And there's really one verse that just says it all, and then there'd be a couple of verses that tell us, kind of explain it a little bit. We don't need to explain it. We all know all things are lawful. But the point is this. Let's look at Romans 3:19. Romans 3:19. This is the only one I'll talk about tonight. It's about guilt. Romans 3:19. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Period. Now, there it is. We realize that the Bible says, Paul says to us, all things are lawful. We know what it says in Romans about if there is no... Well, let's go by memory here. Let's not do that. Romans 5, 6, and 7, general area here. We know that... And this is a hard thing for people to deal with because they think that we're just getting off the hook so easily. It says here, because the law worketh wrath, where no law is, there is no transgression. That's in Romans 4, 15. We could go to Romans 7, and where it says here, it's not Romans 7, it's going to be here, but now being made from sin, that's Romans 6, 22. But now being made free from sin, talks about that. Romans 5, 13, for until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law, it's the way it was before. And so, realizing those things, and we realize that our works are going to be judged at the judgment seat, which we know that's going to be where we're going to feel bad, but all in all, and like I say, this is where people have such a hard time, but this law saith to them who are under the law. Well, we're not under the law. There is no more law. It's there for those that are lost. It is there for who want to, you know, listen to the law and find out that they are a sinner and they can't do what they need, what they think they can do to be a... You know, that's all said and done. But we just have to remember that all the world may become guilty before God. When we realized we were guilty, we gave Him and He took our sins and sin. And He dealt with sin for us, and now... We are without law. All things are lawful. Now, all things are not expedient, cause people to stumble. We understand all that stuff. But for us to feel guilty, to hammer ourselves down for something, it doesn't have to be for the Lord's sake. Like I say, if we blow our testimony, we can feel bad about that. If we... just kind of hang up everything and we should feel bad about that eventually. But the law stops everybody, helps them realize they're guilty. We're past that. Now we get to the judgment seat, we're going to feel bad about things that we lost. But that's ourself we're feeling bad about because we lost some of our reward. People have a hard time with this concept, the fact that all things are lawful because of what Christ did. I don't think we always realize what it is that Christ really did for us and why he did what he did and how and why he had to do it in the manner that he did and how awful and horrendous it was. for us to have the status we have. This is the only dispensation that's had this kind of a status. And it'll never happen again like this. So, we could go to, which we won't, we'll just leave it at that. That's the verse that I will leave it at that, for the guilt. We need to drop that guilt, and if it has to do with somebody else, we can deal with somebody else, we can talk to them about it. If people would just realize that when we proclaim to be a Christian and following Paul's teachings, that they realize that we are not part of this religion that thinks we have to stop sinning. Where Jesus says, sin no more. We should stop. We should stop these things. We should change our life from following the power of the devil to the power of the devil to the Satan there to God, and we should be able to make these things different. But the judgment that we'll look at here in a minute is not to be done. The guilt is not there. Well, people have a hard time, especially if we ever do something flagrant and orally or outwardly or whatever that they see and they hear. What are you going to tell them? Well, you wish you could have the time to explain to them, you know, you messed up and it's your flesh. We're cut away from our flesh. Our flesh is going to get us to do things all the time anyway. We're going to try not to, but flesh more often than not wins, especially this world, which is so fleshy. And if people could just understand that, they would want to have what it is that we have, which is like, Mark, you've always asked, you know, what do we have? Why don't they see what we have? Well, we don't have a chance to show them. We think we need to show them this perfect sinless life, when really what they need to see is this is going to sound wrong. They really need to see us mess up and not lose our joy over it and realize and get a chance to tell them what happened. Well, Christ took care of that. It wasn't imputed. And I try really hard not, but my flesh is me, and I, you know, we could explain that kind of a thing to people, then they would go, well, boy, that's pretty. Where'd you learn that from? Well, at my King James Bible here. Well, I've heard that the King James Bible is all archaic and hard to understand. Oh, let me show you some things here. And yes, it does say that, doesn't it? Wow, I've never heard that. I can't wait to go tell my pastor. That's what they all say. And then you never see him again because they think that what you have to teach is crazy. It's cultic. But I don't know. There it is. But it's funny. They expect us to be sinless, but they themselves know they aren't. But if they get caught up with this guy named Paul, they're part of the hyper thing. If they know anything about Bible teachings, or they just think you're crazy and in the cult. What do you mean you can just do anything you want? You know that whole story. Well, that's that point. That's just a simple, quick point about guilt. You just realize if you do something or said something or go someplace or whatever, your flesh won again. And pretty soon we're going to get mad enough at our flesh that one of these days we're going to be able to get a little victory over it. And but we are. We're living in a world where its flesh is being hyped. It's something terrible. The tech stuff, the TV stuff, the commercials, the clothes, the jobs, the pleasures, the fun seekers. It's amazing what's going on. Let's go into the next point. Let's go into the next one here, and that's judge. J-U-D-G-E. Not judgment. We'll say that for another time. Let's just look at some verses. Let's separate this thing about judging. And it's very simple to me when you realize that we're supposed to change our lives and we're supposed to make some decisions, then we're going to have to make some judgment calls. We just have to. Let's look at the Old Testament just for a couple of verses here. This is pretty quick and easy here. Matthew chapter 7, verse 1. And these are the verses that people will throw at us all the time. Now, I'll be the first to admit that as a pastor, former pastor, or still is, or whatever, as somebody says, but a former Baptist pastor and a Christian who wanted to say things about things to people, that we more often than not come across judging people. Even if we aren't, they say that we are. And we probably were more than we realize. But, and they go right away to Matthew 7:1, judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. and with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. So, they just throw at you, okay, if you're going to judge me for this, then you're going to be judged for it yourself. And whatever measure you meet, whatever you put out to somebody, it's going to come back on you again too. We look at Luke chapter 6. Similar, but just a few different words there as such, which I like that about the Gospels. Luke chapter 6, verse 37. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. Well, that's not true. Not today. Not with what Paul teaches. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Oh, really? You just mentioned the fact that you have a King James Bible, and you will be judged. You just mentioned Paul, and you will be judged. That's just the way it is. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Really? Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. Look at John chapter 7. Verse 24. So these people will grab chapter 7, verse 1 and 2, and they'll stop there. But look at verse 24. Judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. Oh. Okay, so there is some things they still need to do some judgmenting on. Yes, but it's not supposed to be done with the appearance. So, these people get into the long hair crazy thing. They get into the earrings, the piercings, this their new lifestyle, and it's all perverted and stuff. And then the first thing they tell you is, well, don't judge according to the appearance. What's with that? But righteous judgment. What's righteous judgment? It's judgment based on the truth. Chapter 8, verse 15. Ye judge after the flesh. I judge no man. That's an interesting... See, during those gospel days, there was still some judgment that were taking place. John, verse 15 and 16. Ye judge after the flesh. I judge no man. And yet if I judge... Oh, if I judge, my judgment is true. For I am not alone, but I am the Father that sent me. I like John chapter 12, verse 48. John chapter 12, verse 48. I'm trying to slow down so we can get these verses. You can find them as well. I tend to go pretty quickly on these things. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. So, the word is the word to consider there. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. And then John 16:11, part of the job of the Holy Spirit, talks about of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. It's just an interesting thought that King James Bible 16:11 talks about the devil being judged. And that final judgment there that the Holy Spirit does on the world. Okay, so the bottom line is the gospel people, the Great Commission people say, judge not that you be not judged. Then you got the Bible crowd that is still serious on the Great Commission. Well, they can judge righteous judgment. But the problem here is what is righteous judgment today? And if we talk about the word that I have spoken, then we have to be talking about a King James Bible today. And yet we also know Romans chapter 2, 16 tells us that it's Paul's gospel that we're supposed to base our righteous judgment on. Because that's what Jesus Christ will base his judgment on, is what it is that Paul teaches. So, we see a difference here. So, let's look to the Paul books. I hate to say Pauline books, because that's a lady's name. So, I'm trying not to call anything the Pauline books. Paul books. So, we recognize here that Jesus says it's his word that will be doing the judging anyway. So, let's look at Acts chapter 13,
Acts chapter 13, verse 46, and he says, "Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, 'It was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you.'" That would be the Jews. "But seeing you put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles." So these folks that don't want to do judging, supposedly, apparently are judging themselves as unworthy to what Paul teaches. Well, think about it. We don't deserve any ounce of imputation doctrine to us. We don't deserve that at all. Look at the things we said and done and not done and not said that we should have said and done, if that makes sense. Since we become saved, since we realize the King James Bible is the Word of God, since we realize we're supposed to be following Paul, how are we doing? We've messed up. We've said the wrong things. Our lips have spoken incorrectly. Our feet have taken us to places they shouldn't have. Our heart has thought of things it shouldn't, in our mind. So, are we going to reject what is it Paul teaches because we're not worthy to receive such a thing? No matter of fact, I'm more unworthy than anybody to receive what it is that Christ has given to me. So he says that to the Jews, and if anybody's going back to the Jewish gospel as such, of the Jewish fable, if it's taught as truth today, then they must be judging themselves as unworthy. And so they want to work at it themselves a little bit. They can't just imagine that just by your faith in Christ, he does all that he does to us and for us. Eternal security, doesn't impute sin, imputes his righteousness to us. Shows us how to please God in our walk, and then when we don't get chastised or hammered for it. It comes out in the judgment seat of Christ, but nothing else. So these people can't imagine such a marvelous thing. It's such a silly thing to them. So they want to put some time in it themselves. They think they need to get their lives a little better so they can make themselves worthy to receive Christ. That's just not the way it works. So people do judge themselves and consider themselves unworthy to accept what it is that Paul teaches. I still have to say to people, but what we say Paul teaches, it's in your King James Bible. You believe that the King James Bible is the Word of God, inspired, preserved. So how do you reconcile what Paul teaches when I'm showing you these two columns here? They're different. It's the way of God that Jesus taught, and Paul says it's the way of God more perfectly. Why can't we go beyond that and just go right through the whole process? Read your Gospels, go right into Paul, which is Gentiles. Well, I'll say it again, as I said last week. I want people to realize this, that I really believe that that's how people looked at their Bible for years. And somebody came along and stuck in this great big emphasis on the Great Commission and stuck everybody back into the Gospels and early Acts because they wanted to see miracles, see signs and wonders, and the missionaries could produce things like that because the devil's able to do that, and he would have done that to get people to believe in a false gospel in the foreign countries because they had to see some things, and it's still the same dispensation for them as it is for us. And so that those successes in their missionary letters back to the home churches showed how marvelous things are growing, and they picked up on that Great Commission, miracle, signs, and wonders back in the home churches, and this is where it's gone. And that was started by a man named William Carey, the father of modern missions. Yes, he's the father of the Great Commission. So until that emphasis was put on, I think the average common reading person could go from the Bible, go through the Old Testament and Psalms, all these things, get into the Gospels, and then go right into Great Commission, go right into Paul, go right into the tribulation, and out they go. But it sure did get confused over the years. Okay, let's look at Acts chapter... I will save that one. Let's go to Acts chapter 26. Acts chapter 26. Did that make sense about the... I've said it a couple of times. I want people to realize that, well, how come all of a sudden you're emphasizing Paul so much today? I don't remember that in the past. Well, we have to show people that really you got so mixed up and confused to go back. We got to show you why you need to go back forward again and get up to where Paul is at. We have to make more of an issue than it really should have to be. And we're certainly not against the Gospels. We're certainly not against the Old Testament and Hebrews and Peter and stuff. But it has its place. Let's learn the place. And then why talk about it so much? Well, because everybody is so Great Commission ingrained. or religion ingrained or whatever. They just can't imagine Paul, what he teaches, to be true. 26, Paul says, and now I, in verse 6, Acts 26, verse 6, and Paul says, now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made of God unto our fathers. He's saying the very thing to the Jews that they wanted to hear from God. And he's being judged for it. We've had people judge us for things that they want to have in their lives. They'd like to have the sin gone. Okay, well, the risen Savior will take it away from you. Okay, let's keep going here. Well, there's that Romans 2:16, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. That's Paul. And yes, we have secrets, and yes, those secrets have come out in the judgment seat of Christ because they're works. That's what we do, our thoughts and things. Okay, Romans chapter 3, verse 4. I like this one. Romans chapter 3, verse 4, and I don't like it for why most people like it. People like this one a lot, Bible guys, because it says that every man is a liar. So because of that, that gives them permission to be a liar. So they like that. So they put that on their truck. Hey, I'm a liar. Well, so are you, but I'm a liar. Well, that's true. That God forbid, yea, let God be true, but every man a liar. That's not an okay to be a liar. Because it says, as it is written. Now, there's an explanation for this. Every man's a liar, right, but God is not. The purpose for saying that is that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings and mightest overcome when thou art judged. So when we have people judge us because of what we say or what we do or whatever, it says to be justified in thy sayings because God is not a liar. So what God wrote in that King James Bible, Paul's books, those things are true. You don't have to believe them if you don't want. You don't have to have anything to do with them. But it isn't what I taught. It's what God said. And God is true. Every man's a liar. So they don't think that God, they don't think that there's a Bible that's the Word of God anywhere, because every man is a liar. Well, that's true. But there has to be one somewhere. He promised to preserve His Word. All of His words are pure. But man got a hold of it. Sure, man got a hold of it. They put in references that don't tell the truth. They put in notes at the bottom that are lies. They put things in the back of the Bible that are lies. They put things in the front of the Bible that are lies. But if you can get yourself a text only, Cambridge text only, the King James Bible, 1611, with all the spelling corrections made, etc., etc., then you've got the Word of God, which is true. And if we say anything according to the Scriptures, we say the Scriptures to people, we're justified in what we believe and what we say because this is what the Bible says. But we have so much confusion, religious confusion, Great Commission confusion, that it's hard for us to get a hold of Paul because it really is being made free from sin. And we don't find ourselves worthy enough to be made free from sin. Well, we're not. But that's what he does. Look at verse 6. We might as well throw in 5. But if our unrighteousness commend the righteousness of God, when we do something wrong, it commends the fact that he still doesn't impute it, that kind of a thing, see? What shall we say? Is God unrighteous who taketh vengeance? I speak as a man. God forbid, for then how shall God judge the world? He still has to have the law. He still judges the world. Does that make sense? I mean, if our unrighteousness, things that we do wrong, still commend the righteousness of God because he still says what he would do for us, he still judges the world with that. It's an interesting little series of verses in 4, 5, and 6, and 7. Good question. Romans chapter 3, verse 7, Paul says, for if the truth of God hath more abounded through my lie unto his glory, why yet am I also judged as a sinner? And then it goes on. Look at that verse 7. That the truth of God hath more abounded through my lie. So, when we do something wrong, say something wrong, go places wrong, you know, all that sort of thing that Paul teaches we should have avoided and all that sort of a thing. Just remember, and this is you got to get this thing right, God still gets his glory. Well, how can that be? Well, if somebody saw you, yes, then there's a testimony that's wrong. But God gets his glory because he's paid for that. It's already paid for. So God still comes out ahead. People realize what that's paid for. The devil wants to try to do some things to us. He tries to hinder Paul's teachings. He tries to hinder me and you. And when he does, then God still gets the glory because devil cannot get rid of Paul's teachings totally. So you see what he's saying here? If the truth of God hath more abounded through my lie unto his glory, he still gets the glory. Why yet am I also judged as a sinner? Well, people look to us as a sinner because we did something wrong. Because they don't understand Paul's teachings. They don't understand what the risen Savior has done. They don't understand that. They've never been taught that anymore. See, we have to remind ourselves, I guess we don't have to remind ourselves, but I do believe that Romans 11:22 says that when the Gentiles are done to the goodness of God, God's going to be done to the Gentiles. I don't think that's all that far away. I didn't read the article tonight, but there was a news headline that says one of these credit card companies now has a microchip in the credit card. You know where this is all going, and it's going there quickly. So, these things come about, the truth of God hath more abounded through my lie unto his glory, anymore, it's hard for him to get the glory other than knowing that he has still taken care of it. He gets the glory from us because we know that, well, he didn't impute that. I can just get up and keep going again. He still gets his glory. But not like he would have if other people had realized what Christ has done for us and to us, that we can get up and go again. Romans 14 is another series of verses on judging. And a lot of the Bible crowd goes to chapter 14. And it sounds an awful lot like Matthew chapter 7, the way they preach and teach it. We look at verse 3, let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not. And I'm from the Seventh-day Adventist country up in Washington, and they don't eat certain things, you know. And he says, let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. Well, first of all, Seventh-day Adventists are not Christian people. They're not saved. They can't be. They just have another Jesus. So we have to remember that. Because Romans chapter 14 is easily explained in verse 1. Him that is weak in the faith. This whole chapter is talking about somebody who can't handle hardly anything that Paul has taught. You get a rock musician saved, and he's not going to put down his guitar and all that stuff right away. He's going to be very weak in the faith. He's not going to understand anything. He hasn't read his Bible. He hasn't. And some people, unfortunately, it takes many, many years. Why? Because our flesh is so pumped up. So we have to be careful. Him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. Doubtful disputations, yes, these are things that can, they look like they're not solvable, you know, really. Doubtful disputations, to dispute something. Stay away from these arguments to these people because they really don't know what you're talking about. And a couple of illustrations that I just remembered now is geocentricity and heliocentricity. You've got Bible-believing guys that say if you believe in helio, then you're not a Christian. You've got Bible guys that believe in helio that say that if you believe in geocentricity, you're not a Christian. And I've read both sides of the issue, and I just say to people, you know what, this has nothing to do with Paul and his ways of pleasing. That's just doubtful disputational stuff, please. Now, is that because we're weak in the faith? They think they're strong in the faith when they get into that stuff. No, you've been deceived into some worthless argument. Arguments that only bring more questions and strife, which we're supposed to stay away from. And if you don't know what that is, one of the two is that Earth revolves around the Sun, and the other one is the Sun revolves around the Earth. I always get them mixed up. Geo is probably Sun around the Earth, I think, and helio is, I don't know, whatever. It goes right on here. And he says, here's an example of a doubtful disputation. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. Let him not to eat, and then it goes on through this whole thing. Let's just not worry about that. Let's just not get into that stuff, is what he's saying. This guy's weak in the faith. He doesn't know any of this kind of stuff. Music is something that can be really tough for people to handle. They will never know anything about music. And if you convince them about one song or one piece or one musical or one something or other, you've got five other CDs the guy has. And it's tough because most people are just weak in the faith. They just don't have the time or the desire or the willingness or maybe even the capabilities of studying their Bible, so they're not weak in the faith. They let the pastor make all the decisions and all the do things and all this kind of stuff, and when it comes right down to them, they don't know what to do. There's a lot of that that takes place. Look at verse 4. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. So it was none of your business, you know. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. We're talking about brothers, about Christians, about the family here. Keep in mind that we're living in a day where people say they're Christians, but they're not. There's a lot of deception. There's a lot of deceived people. Based on the King James Bible, based on their teachings, and based on all sorts of things, you could show people if they'd listen that I would question your salvation just because of what your testimony is. Not because of your walk, but just because of your testimony. 14 verse 10, but why dost thou judge thy brother? The whole chapter has to be read to make this whole thing come together, but why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? In other words, ignore him. Don't pay any attention to him. For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Those are our works. 13, let us not therefore judge one another anymore. Which is fair, if we're brothers. But judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. Remember, we're talking about somebody who's weak in the faith. We have the liberty. And if we do some of our liberty that we have the liberty to do, it could cause somebody who's weak in the faith some real serious problems. So we have to be careful with that. Now, look at Philippians chapter 1, verse 9. And it's a tough road to follow, because Philippians 1, 9... he says, in this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. We're supposed to grow in our judging. That you may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. So as we approve things that are excellent, and if we grow in knowledge and in all judgment, we can cause somebody to stumble who's weak in the faith. Oh, so then maybe I can go ahead and do stuff. Or maybe I shouldn't do this, but I have the liberty to do this. Yes, but not if it's going to cause somebody else to stumble, somebody weak in the faith. What's it going to teach them that you can do that? But I have every right to watch that, or to do that, or to wear that. Yes, you do. But what about in 3 years you find out that it didn't please God and you're learning and growing? In the meantime, 7 or 8 people are wearing the same thing you're wearing now, and they don't care about it at all. Look at the damage you've done. Somebody who is weak in the faith. You taught them that this was okay. In 2 years, you found out it wasn't, and now you've got people playing music or wearing clothes or acting or going to things that they shouldn't be going to. But because you did, they are. Now that you're not, they're still going to be. Well, maybe they'll catch my testimony. They'll get out of it. Doubtful. I don't see that happen very often. Why? Because most people are happy being weak in the faith. What's that phrase? Ignorance is a blizzard or something like that? Some things you're better off not knowing? Makes you miserable to know this? Oh, I can't go anywhere, I can't do this, I can't wear this, I can't go there, I can't buy this, I can't find any shoes that cover my feet, I can't find any of this, I can't, you know, I mean, it just gets worse and worse and worse. Well, we have the liberty to have joy, but we don't have the liberty, really, to do wrong, dress wrong, say wrong, talk wrong, and we don't really have that liberty. I mean, we shouldn't. If it's not going to edify, if it's going to be a power over you, if it's going to cause somebody to stumble, somebody weak in the faith, then our
then our judging should show to us that, well, you know what, we shouldn't be doing that. But that means we're putting that judging on ourselves, and we're going to grow in judgment. We're going to approve things that are excellent, where a year ago you wouldn't have approved that. You wouldn't have done that. Anyway, let's keep moving on here. Let's look over here to, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2. No, let's go back to 1 Corinthians 4. Sorry about that. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. AV 1611. I think that is Ray. I'll try to get these names down, Ray. 1 Corinthians 4:3. With me it is a very small thing, Paul says, that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not mine own self, for I know nothing by myself. Yet am I not hereby justified, but he that judgeth me is the Lord. Okay, so I judge not mine own self. Well, and I just got done saying we should judge ourselves, but what are we judging ourselves with? Our Bible. I'm not going to the law, I'm not going to the Gospels, I'm going to what Paul teaches. So if somebody else wants to judge me, that's their problem, Paul says. That's not my problem. The Bible tells me where I'm at with stuff. And the Bible not only tells us what's wrong, he tells us what's right. Not only that, he tells us that when we mess up, we can get up and keep going again. It's more than just do's and don'ts. It's when the flesh wins, we can still get up and have that joy and understanding and peace and keep going. And people don't understand it. After what you just did and said, I mean, that was seriously wrong. Yeah, well, I can get up and keep going. You got those that abuse that sort of a thing, obviously, but that's what the Bible says there. Then he says in verse 5, therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come. And this is going to be hard for some people, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts, and then shall every man have praise of God. Well, this shows how much of a King James Bible guy I am, but the Lord has come, spiritually. We've got his words. And we've got the words of the risen Christ. He's come. He's come to us through a King James Bible, through a rightly divided King James Bible. How can you say that? Because this Bible actually brings to light the hidden things of darkness. Have you noticed that? It does. And will make manifest the counsels of the hearts. Well, the Word of God does that. Hebrews 4.12 tells us that. 4.12 and 4.13. Well, that's Hebrews, yeah, but that's what the Word of God will do. Where is the Word of God today? King James Bible. Okay, it will do that then. And then afterwards it says, and then shall every man have praise of God. So after this Bible has come into our lives, and this rightly divided Bible helps us understand more and more things, not everything, but it's just our fault, not his, then it brings to light the hidden things of darkness in our life. It will manifest the counsel of our hearts, which is kind of why we don't want to read the Bible all the time, doesn't it? And then afterwards, after we get into this Bible, we have praise of God. So if anybody else wants to judge us or give us a hard time or whatever, that's their problem, I guess. It's not me that judges, it's what this Bible does for this Bible has shown me. He that judgeth me is the Lord, and he's judging my works now because he's taking care of my sins by this Bible. But even at that, he's not going to carry through with his response to our works until his judgment seat of Christ. Which is the first thing we get into after we die. After this, the judgment. That's the judgment seat of Christ. So there's some exciting things there for us regarding judging. There's a tough one in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. I think it's a tough thing. It's just hard to understand sometimes. But this is what he says, and I like to think I'm right about the last verse there. Let's look at verse 9. I think some of you remember going through this. You got to read this closely and back and forth a million times. I wrote unto you in an epistle, not to company with fornicators. And I believe that fornication is not just sexual. It's with the world. It's with the gods of this world. It's with our own gods. It's, you know, idols, everything. Yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or, he adds more, or with the covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters. Covers a big wide range there, doesn't it? For then must ye needs go out of the world. In other words, you can't get a job. You can't go out there somewhere. We're not going to be hanging around the wrong people. They don't need to be our friends. We don't need to fellowship with them. He tells us not to. But you're not going to get away from them. You're probably going to sit right next to them at the office. Or you're going to be teaching their children who are going to grow up and be the same thing their parents are. He says, but now, this would be Paul now, but now I have written unto you not to keep company if any man that is called a brother. I'm sorry if I emphasized the wrong word. If any man that is called a brother be a fornicator or covetous or an idolater or a railer or a drunkard or an extortioner, that kind of brings more in, doesn't it? Kind of like brings almost everybody in. With such an one, know not to eat. That's pretty tough. And you got to be so careful because you may be making this call way too early. We put this on a lot of people. We pull ourselves away, and then before you know it, we have no friends, no fellowship, no nothing. Nobody even tried to show Paul to. It might even be family. It might even be your best friends. It might be somebody that we were just too quick as well. Paul talks about that. Not right here, but he says, for what have I to do to judge them also that are without? Now, this without within is the key here. Without has to be without the Lord, without the family, without the brother. They're outside of us. For what have I to do to judge them also that are without? Do not ye judge them that are within? Like, we have enough trouble right there. But them that are without, God judgeth, and he will. Therefore put away from among yourselves that wicked person. Who's that wicked person referring to? Now, verse 10, the fornicators of this world, the covetous, extortioners, idolaters, or the brother who is a fornicator or covetous or an adulterer or a railer or a drunkard or an extortioner. So that's making a judgment call. That's judging. So Matthew chapter 7, verse 1, judging really goes against what Paul teaches. As we learn and grow excellent things and grow in judgment, then we need to make these kind of calls when the time comes. Now, these people, if they're brothers, saved, Christian-type people, fornicators, covetous, idolaters, or railers, or drunkards, or extortioners, and we talked about the extortion thing, but what pastors are doing to their people, they're extorting money out of people, but we won't get into that. Then if they are the saved person, they still can be referred to as a wicked person, even though Christ hasn't imputed anything to them, but their works are causing people to stumble and not edifying if they're saved at all. That's between them and God as such. He goes right into chapter 6 about suing each other. And again, this is Corinthians. Again, the Corinthians is the stuff that's being taught to the Gentiles, but there are Jews involved here because there's a lot of things in Corinthians that, since that King James Bible came along, there's a different way of applying these things. Well, does that mean because we've got the King James Bible now, we can go ahead and hang around these people? No, but the King James Bible tells us how to be judging other people and when to pull away and when to avoid, when to withdraw from. So Corinthians is hard for some folks, but if you just look at it and realize this is now based on the biblical teachings of Paul, not the law. And Paul also teaches about grace and prayer and tears and patience with people, long suffering. And we're often quite quick to put the hammer down, because some of us have been taught how to be offensive and put the hammer on people, thinking that that's what God would have us to do. But we learn in 2 Timothy that isn't the way God wants us to do things today. He doesn't want us to act like and preach like Jeremiah. He doesn't want us to do the stuff that Moses did and all those things. He doesn't want that. He doesn't? Really? He doesn't? No, he says here in 2 Timothy, servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, and meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves.
Or you go to Thessalonians, and they can't find it now, probably. People that we're supposed to pull away from his people, but they're not our enemy. That's 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. No, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Sorry about that. If any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed, yet count him not as an enemy. And they have to be causing troubles, whether they don't agree with Paul, but are they causing you trouble? Well, no. Then you don't need to hammer them. You don't need to put the thing down. They're learning. Did you learn everything the first time? No. Well, why should we expect them to? Did you get angry over some of this stuff? Yes, I did. Well, then you understand why they're getting angry over stuff like that. So we are all quick to judge. Now, when you're a parent and you have your first children, suddenly things change. You start looking at things a little tighter because it's going to involve your children. This is tough stuff. That news article, news piece today, that was a 7-year-old, I think it was, or 11 or 7, I don't know how this girl was, got the works at the airport. And that's terrible. That's a terrible thing to put your children through. People go to jail for stuff like that if they do it outside the airport. So we're living in a tough world. In order for us to grow and change, like Paul says, we have to put our foot down against a lot of things that other people will not understand. We have to be so careful of how we do it anymore. It's just like in school, I have to be so careful what I say. People are so offendable, so misread everything so easily nowadays. Everybody is so sensitive, Christians especially. It's tough. It's really tough stuff. We'll think we'll probably time-wise here. Well, we could kind of finish this up here. A couple more things here. That's quite a little series right in there. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 2. Let's look at that thing about suing the brother. Pretty tough when you got insurance companies suing insurance companies. Is that our call? Well, aren't you glad we live in the dispensation of grace? We're just never going to get it all together here. But I like his process here. This is amongst the brethren. I guess the Catholic Church, when the guys do all these mean, rotten things to people, these priests and stuff, that they don't have to get arrested because the Catholic Church, in their own church law, handles their own crimes. Isn't that strange? Wouldn't that be something if the Baptist people could handle their own crimes among Baptists? Everybody joined the Baptist church so they could be criminals. But if you've got an issue with a Christian, and you know he's a Christian, etc., etc., he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, if you have a matter against another, that's amongst each other here, go to the law before the unjust and not before the saints? Do ye not know that the saints shall judge the world? If the world shall be judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? If then ye have judgments of things pertaining to this life, set them to judge who are least esteemed in the church. Instead of going to the rich ones or the hobby snobbies or the ones that have been to Bible college and blah, 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 the person that's going to make the decision is the least esteemed in the church. I remember going through that issue thinking, boy, that means such and such and such and such really should be the ones that we take it to. But these folks also have to have some biblical understanding, too. That has to be, because they're going to base things on the biblical teachings. They have to know the biblical teachings. But it doesn't have to be some hobby snobby person. Then he says, I speak to your shame. Is it so that there is not a wise man among you? No, not one that should be able to judge between his brethren. We can't figure this thing out. We're brothers. We're Christians. Again, every time I say that, I remind myself, well, maybe somebody isn't. Maybe we are so deceived with the Great Commission. Maybe you've been a tongue speaker and you never really have gotten truly saved. I believe that happens a lot. And some of the issues we're having with the brethren really aren't brethren. And somebody needs to put their foot down and deal with it. Anyway. Let's go to Colossians 2:16. We can finish this up tonight. Colossians 2:16. And this is the answer to anybody who does judge you for when you go to church and when you do this and when you do that. Very simple verse. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of an holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days. And I know you know this, that of the Ten Commandments, Paul only reiterates nine of them. And the one that is missing is about remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. We don't have Sabbath days today. Whenever you get together and preach and study and worship on your own or worship with somebody else or whatever is going on here, pick your day. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of an holy day or of the new moon or the Sabbath days. I mean, it's just your life is none of their business. Our judge is our King James Bible. We want to learn the right stuff. We want to try to do the best we can, knowing that we're not going to stop sinning and that we're not going to get everything so perfect, but yet we're supposed to try, and we follow Paul's teachings. We also realize that we should have no guilt when we mess up because your flesh won, that's all. Embarrassment, maybe, and our own shame we'll put on ourselves because we blew our testimony, but our judging comes from this Bible. And we want to grow in judgment, not Matthew 7:1, like it says. So there's your guilt and your judging tonight.